remember to be thankful during this time, right? We have Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving has always been a reminder of being with family, right? And sitting around the table. And my family, for a while, we would always give one thing that we're thankful for. I don't know why we're getting away from it. Maybe it was because of my sarcasm. I don't know. All right? You know, I'd say the goofiest things. I don't know. It never ends up well, but that's how God works. That's how Ben works, not God. I'm sorry. God tries to heal it. I usually damage it, but God is good. But family, it's an awesome time for the most of us, right? Thanksgiving is an awesome time until the next 2 days, and you just feel like, okay, I have eaten way too much. Anybody else? Right? And I have napped too much. I love turkey one time a year, and it does the trip for me. I try to watch the games during Thursday, and I end up, because of how much turkey I've eaten, out cold. Right? Anybody else? Right? Thanksgiving is an opportunity to be with family, hopefully, but it can be messy. Right? And we're going to talk about this morning about a family that's kind of messy and how it didn't work out very well in the beginning for them, all right? We're going to be in Samuel, maybe, all right? See if we can, yeah, 1 Samuel 1 is where we're going to start off with, and we're going to talk about more specifically this lady, Hannah, all right? Hannah is married to a really good man, right? And back then, marriage and relationships looked a little bit different from our culture and our understanding of how they work, right? In fact, her husband was married to another woman, right? Now, some of you might, what? Right? This was normal kind of then. This wasn't a thing within the culture, especially within the church, that they looked down upon. It was all right, right? The things that they looked down upon and why I think Jesus later on said, hey, listen, you should only be married to one person, is because I think throughout Old Testament, if you watch and read Old Testament, it never works out. It never works out to be married to more than one person, all right? So in this, this is one of those stories where family's a little messy, all right? And Hannah is at the brunt of it all. All right. She is a wonderful woman, God-fearing woman, loves God, and loves her husband, right? And she is having troubles becoming pregnant, right? And during this time, if you could not bear children, you probably did something to deserve that. Right? This is how they looked upon it. So it was spiritually, she thought she had done something to God so God wouldn't bless her with a child. And that hurt her doubly. She thought she was a godly woman. She thought she loved her husband, loved her family, lived a life for God, and God was not blessing her with a family. Now, on top of this, the other woman in this story, right? She could have kids. And she had, I believe, 7 of them, if I remember correctly. And she let Hannah know that she could have kids and rubbed it in and gave her a hard time. Now, that's not, like, nobody enjoys being pointed out what they cannot do, right? Especially when they have no control over it. But what this also was saying, these insults and this nudging of continually, nonstop, consistently letting her know, hey, you have failed in your role as a woman in this role, right? And just continually letting her know, do you want to be around that person, first off, right? And what they would normally do, every year they would go to Shiloh, right? And they would pray and they would visit with the priest. And every year it was a reminder of how she was a failure. Okay? And this is also the time of the other woman to come into this play and say, hey, We're going to go visit with God and the priest. Make sure you let him know how you are not a woman in his eyes because you can't give birth. Like, she would just remind her all the time of this, right? And so can you imagine living this life? And finally, it broke her. It broke her. She wept. She cried, like, and just was devastated all the time. And of course, the husband in this is like, what's going on? Why are you like this? I love you so much. Why can't I be enough for you? Well, to me as a man, right, this seems like a very, I should be enough, right? And in his mind, he's putting himself basically in the seat of her joy and should be enough for her joy, right? She could not find her purpose in this world without giving birth to a kid. And he couldn't understand that, right? There's amazing parts of this story that I definitely would challenge you to read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel this week, okay? But I want to stop here and ask you the simple question. Where can you be thankful in a moment where you just feel like nothing is answered correctly for you? How can you be thankful in a moment where continually reminded that you're not good enough? How can you be thankful when the people closest to you don't recognize what's going on with you? Right? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. And a lot of us, what we have a tendency to do is carry that, hold on to that, and then become defined by that. Right? That hurt, that pain, that struggle, that's mine. Nobody else cares. Nobody else wants to deal with this. Nobody else, like, I'm hurting, and instead of my husband saying, why are you like this, he says to me, why don't you love me more and me feel your joy for this, right? Like, he didn't invest in that moment for her to be like, okay, life is all right. God loves you. You're more than this, what you can't do, right? Didn't see that, didn't offer that, didn't think about that. So she's caught in this world of hurt. And she's sitting at the church, right? And she's praying. She's praying. And let me start off the scene for you. It starts in First Samuel 1:10 says this, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Man, these are very, very descriptive words. Very, very descriptive words, right? Weeping bitterly. Have you ever seen anybody weep bitterly? I can only imagine it is not a pretty sight. I can only imagine it's one of those ones, if you're walking up to somebody that's weeping bitterly and you don't even know the scenario, you're like, your heart hurts for them, but you're like, I'm not going to touch that. That's a wound that's definitely there that I'm scared of. If you're a person that loves that person and is involved in your life, oh man, the anguish, the hurt, the pain, you're like, oh, what do I do? How do I fix this? How do I make this right? How do I make this good and whole? I don't want this person to feel this way anymore. Like, I look at it as crying that's uncontrollable. Crying that is one that this is an issue and a pain and a hurt that's overwhelmed me, and everything about me now is surrounded by this hurt and this pain and this frustration, this grief. How do we respond to that? And what I love is the story's not over there, right? What I love within this too is that we skip ahead. And let me tell you what the scene is. She's still sitting at the, I look at it this way, she's still sitting at the altar, right? And she's praying. And she's praying with no noise, but she's mouthing it. That's how I read a book, right? I read with my lips moving, but I don't say anything. And like, people will make fun of that, right? But it helps me And this is where she was at. She was mouthing her prayer, but she wasn't saying anything. And the priest, us pastors get things wrong sometimes, right? And he looked at her and goes, "Are you drunk? Are you drunk? Have you been drinking? You need to stop drinking right now, because what are you doing at my altar? What are you doing right now?" Right? And he totally missed it. And this is what she replies. "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." And I really want us to focus on the part where she says, "I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." I think for a lot of us, we carry our pain and our grief way too far. We carry the things in this world way too far that we define us, and we are caught in this vicious cycle of hurt and pain and crying. Like, just, we want to barely pull over the car and go, "All right, this is my breakdown point. I can't handle it anymore." Imagine in that point realizing what Hannah realized. Everything I carry, everything that I'm wounded by, every grief that I'm dealing with, I pour out onto you, God. I pour out onto you. Wow. My question for you this morning right now, when's the last time you poured out onto God? When's the last time you gave him everything that you're worried about, you're anxious about, you're feeling stressed about, you're hurting about, right? When's the last time you poured out onto God? You see, for far too long, it is easy for us to become a victim. It is easy for us to pigeonhole ourselves within this moment that we are trapped in. And the reality is this, like, Hannah is used to glorify the God. She's used to move further. But if she didn't pour out her heart, if she didn't pour everything out, my heart and my thought process, I studied this, was that she would still be in the same situation that she was. Defined by what she couldn't do. Defined by the scenario that was not healthy. Having her husband's other wife continually hurt her, continually feeling like she was worthless. If she really believed that, she wouldn't have been in the presence of God. She wouldn't have laid everything out before him. And this is what we need to be first off thankful for, that we have a God who will allow us to pour everything out onto his lap. We need to be thankful for that. That we have a God that engages us right where the mess is at. Right where the hurt is at. Right where the things that we carry. Right where the life is not, the intersection of life comes to the cross. There's like, "I can't live anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm breaking down." And God says, "I'm here with you." Allow yourself to pour out onto his lap. Now, she did that, and God answered. Let me read real quick, all right? This is so cool. Scripture is awesome. "Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, who was the priest at the time, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked him." All that the priest could say in that moment is like, I overstepped. I shouldn't have been saying that you're drunk. You were doing what God has called you to do. May he grant what you've asked." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Her situation didn't really change, but within her life and her soul, it changed, because the hope that she had was no longer in what she didn't do. Or what she didn't wasn't defined by this culture. It was defined by God. All that she had been carrying, all that pain and that anguish was wiped clean, but the scenario wasn't. She was still going home to a situation that wasn't very loving and kind, not very friendly, was probably getting nudged still, hey, you can't do this, God doesn't love you, and she knew better. But she took the time to pour out her heart onto God. We need to be thankful for that. We need to understand that, that within the relationship between us and God, He wants to carry our burdens with us. He wants to be the answer to the solutions that we're looking for. He wants you to have faith in Him that He can move mountains. The fear that you have, the hurt that you may carry, is never bigger than God. Amen. And the moment you pour your heart out and you trust it and you have faith in it, you know it is well. You know that it is done. You believe He is bigger than this. And whether He answers your prayer the way He wants it, He answers your prayer. It so happens that for Hannah's sake, she became pregnant. She had this little baby boy named Samuel who became an amazing prophet. And we're going to talk about Samuel this month. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of being the voice of God. We're going to talk about how difficult it is to be in a culture where it says you are horrible and they do horrible things to you, just like the second wife, and say mean and horrible things, right? And how am I supposed to be kind, caring, and loving through that? How am I supposed to be the voice of God that returns them back to a culture in which God has designed them to be? If you read Samuel, this is bringing people back to God, having the message of God, and this is who God gave Hannah to. Gave this amazing man, this prophet, to her. And immediately when she became pregnant, immediately when she had this boy, guess what she did? This is your son. This is who you give me. This is definitely a gift. As we go through God in these moments of feeling horrible and grief and pain and anguish and bitter weeping, right? These moments, this is what's amazing. When we turn to God and we pour our lives out, guess what we start to recognize? We start to recognize how He answers those prayers. And He starts to give us hope when we start to see God answer those prayers. We start to see how God is moving in a world that is just through wickedness. God is still at work. Right? So these are the things in which, if you read Hannah's prayer in chapter 2, this is awesome. I want you to go home this week. I want you to go home today. Read her prayer. Decipher what her prayer is saying. But I want to give you three messages through her prayer after this moment with pouring out God. After this moment, after God has given her the gift of this baby, right? Given her and answered her prayer. Like now she knows that she is what this birth meant for her. Let me help you here. This birth meant that she was loved in God's eyes. Like, giving birth was a big deal. Having a boy was a big deal. It was a blessing. Like, the culture's kind of changed now. We don't put as much as of emphasis. We understand there's other things that come into this. There's other things that we live with now, and that God still loves us no matter if we can have a kid or not have a kid or these things. We know that we're being used by God, right, within this. But back then, they were limited in this thought. This is what their culture thought. For the first time, she probably thought, God loves me. I have a purpose to life now for God. And she sought that through prayer. And it wasn't one of these eloquent prayers. It wasn't one of these where the Pharisees are standing on the side corner and going, I am this person, and I pray this way, and I boast through all the good things that I do. It was an ugly prayer. It was one of those prayers like just broken down before Him. And it didn't have probably the greatest words before Him, but just wanted Him to know, I am in pain. I am hurting. I am lost. I am alone. And God heard her. And God loved her. And God wanted her. And I want you to understand this story and what it relates to us is God hears you. God loves you. God wants you. Do you understand that? And he wants, this is the thing, he wants you and all the stuff that you come with. He doesn't require you necessarily to clean up. He loves you right where you're at, but this is the difference. Once he has you, he wants to move you forward with him. He wants you to change in the way that is going to be holy and righteous in his eyes. Right? It is easy for us to become stuck by our circumstances. And this is what Hannah learned. Hannah learned, if you read her prayer in the next chapter, is these three things. God opposes the proud and exalts the humble. Let me repeat that again. God opposes the proud and exalts the humble. In the scenario of her, Hannah's husband and other wife, you get the scene that she never complained to her husband about her. That she took it. That she dealt with it. And she felt like she deserved it. All right? The other wife was proud of where she stood. She was proud at how she was giving to her husband all these children. And God's message to her was, God opposes the proud and exalts the humble. Second one, despite human evil, God is at work. Man, no amens after that. I mean, think about the world that we live in. Despite all the evil, all the humanity evil that we live in, God is still at work. This is what Hannah learned back then, right? The world that she lived in, it felt evil. It felt like she was the source of probably all the evil because she couldn't do something that she thought God would bless her to do, right? And that she had her husband's other wife was just egging it on nonstop, like just living in this evilness. God is still at work. That is our hope. That is our understanding in this world. We got to understand and have that as our hope when we walk out, that when we see the atrocities of this world, when we see the things that we go, why hasn't God come back yet? Like when we see these things, right? We also understand God is still at work. God has got a job. Look at it, and you can almost look at it this way. God is still looking at these people and going, they need me, and they don't know it. And I think he's even saying this to the church. You guys need me, and some of you don't even know it. You're carrying this pain, this anguish, this hurt, and it has defined you from day one, and you have not allowed me to take it and wipe you clean and move on past it. Right? And guess what he wants you to be defined by? He wants to be you to be defined by his love, his forgiveness, his understanding of how to look at this world. He wants you to be defined by that. Right? Third thing is this, and this is awesome in this story. God will rise up the king. He will give us Jesus. He will give us the Son of Man. He will give us the Messiah. He will give us the reason why we have hope today. And all this, those other two things are just wrapped up in that third thing. Right? everything Jesus was. He was not a proud man. He humbled himself. He met with people that were lower than him. He met with the lost. He met with the people that were not high in standard. He met with all of them with what? Open arms. Forgiving hearts. Moved them forward to be something different. Gave them the option. You are not bound by the sin in which you are entrapped by. I have freed you today. You are to move forward today. You see, everything that Hannah thought she was, she stood up from that altar and knew, I am more because of what God has done in this moment. That's what he wants for you. That's what he desires for you. You see, family can be tricky, right? And it can remind you of all these things that you carry. Pour out your hurt, your pain, whatever you're dealing with into the lap of God today. Do it. If you need to pull over today, if you need to take a moment and say, listen, I need you to deal with the kids. I need a moment. I need to allow God to hear what's going on in my heart and all the frustration and hurt. And he needs to know how painful I feel right now and just lay it at his lap and know and trust him and get up from that moment and never be bound to it again. Doesn't that sound so amazing? Doesn't that sound so awesome? We should be thankful for that. No other God that has ever been created by humans, and ours is not created by human, that's what's awesome about this, has ever had an interaction with their people that are loving like this. Our God wants to have a relationship with you personally. And he wants you not to be defined by the things of this world, but be defined by him. And when we do, when we get up from that moment and we realize it, and we poured all this junk, we poured everything that we've been sold on, we've been poured on all these expectations, we pour all these things out on his lap, and we get up, we are free. Breath. It's not on my chest anymore. It's not, I know I've had fights with my wife. Yes, I've had fights with her. And at the end of it, when I felt like I was hurt and I was wrong, and I just laid it out there. And sometimes I did it wrong. Trust me, I did it wrong. But I laid it out there. I know I could breathe again. And what's awesome is God's wanting that. God wants that. Do you know how much when my wife comes to me and like, this is where you've hurt me, this is where you, I don't want to hear that. God wants that. He was waiting for Hannah to realize that she's more than this situation that she's found in. And all this hurt and pain that she had been carrying on for, all this expectations that she wasn't living up to, everything that she felt horrible about, if she would have came to him so much sooner, she wouldn't have been dealing with it. God brings hope, restores new life, gives us a reason to live and breathe and know that we are not entrapped by our own doing, that we are found new in him. My hope and my prayer this week, you can be thankful that you have a God that loves you that much. And maybe you need to take a moment and thank him. Maybe you need to take a moment and even pour your heart out to him and ask him, what do I need to release from my life and hand over to you and give you full control of? That I need to become the person that you have designed me to be, and what I need to let go of is hindering that. Figure it out. Allow God to talk to you this week. Allow God to have a moment. Allow God for you to have a moment with him to pour all your life out on his. He wants it. He doesn't want you to carry it. He doesn't want you to live with downcast. He doesn't want you to live in pain. He doesn't want you to live in this hurt. He wants you to know that all hope that he has for you can be restored in a moment that you give it to him. Stand with me, church. please live out Hannah's story this week. 1 Samuel 1:15. And more specifically, what she says at the end, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. May you be caught this week by somebody that doesn't see, like, sees you doing this, and you have the opportunity to say, I was sharing everything with my Lord. I was letting him know the hurts and the anger and the hurt that I have been carrying, everything that was been in my life that I don't want. I'm letting him know. And I know it's good. I know it is well. Because he's got me. He loves me. He changes me. I'm not bound by that stuff anymore. Allow God to move in your life this week. Pray to him. Give him the things that handcuff you. Give him the things that define you in the wrong way. Allow God to move this week. Church, be blessed in knowing that our God loves you that much that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. May you know that. May that be real to you this week. May it be life-changing this week. May it be something that you carry and you go, I need the world to see what he has done for me. I am thankful for the life that he has given me. May you be thankful this week. Go being blessed in his presence. Thank you, church.